Father, we thank you for the words of your servant Paul at the beginning of 2 Corinthians, where he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble." Lord, we commit to your compassion and comfort today the families of Robert Whiteman and Margaret Boyle. We thank you for their lives. We thank you above all for their faith, whether that was a faith of many years or whether that was a faith in more recent times. We thank you for their faith. And may their loved one's ultimate comfort come from a knowledge of that faith in Jesus Christ, the one who is the resurrection and the life, and who promises us that whoever believes in him will live, even though they die. We commit these grieving families to your compassion and comfort this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to hand over to Liz Thompson at this stage.
Good morning, and on behalf of the PW, I'd like to welcome you all to our service this morning, those in the church building here and also those online. And if there are any visitors, I hope that you will feel at home with us. And of course, a very special and warm welcome to our guest speaker this morning, the Reverend David Couples. In 2023, David retired from being minister of Enniskillen Presbyterian Church, where he served for 35 years. He may not want me to say that, but, and where, as he described himself in his own words, as, "I tried to be a learning teacher, a servant leader, and a wounded healer." David is no stranger to Railway Street, as Michael said, as he was the guest speaker at our guest evening a year ago. And he shared with us his experiences as he walked as a pilgrim along the Camino de Santiago, an evening which we all enjoyed and which encouraged us on our own pilgrimage on the road of life. David, I hope you will enjoy being with us this morning, and we look forward to hearing from you later. I'd like to thank the musicians as well for leading the worship and for all who are taking part and helping in the service this morning. As well as fellowship and supporting each other, one of the most important parts of PW is supporting mission. And so far this year, through the generosity of our own PW ladies, we have been supporting Diane Kusick, our special missionary in Zambia, who looks after early learning. We have helped Shirley McGonigal at the International Meeting Point at Carlisle Circus by donating toiletries and serving a soup and dessert lunch to those who come to English classes there. We have connected with Rosie and Steve Kennedy, as well as the Belfast City Mission. We have continued to support Charlene's project, which empowers communities through education, sport, and training. And just recently, we have donated to Abana, which brings hope to children in Africa. And we have twinned our two toilets in the link with two in countries such as Zambia. And by funding these two toilets, it reduces the risk which poor sanitation brings. And it means that people have somewhere safe to go to the loo, and also gives dignity, especially to children and women. And as part of the wider PW organisation, we also donate every year to the PW Mission Fund, which is used, among other things, to help towards the support and training of global mission workers and deaconesses, and to support two special projects. This year, the Special Home Project is the work of the Prison Fellowship Northern Ireland, a Christian ministry which for over 40 years has brought hope and a new beginning to many prisoners as they take the good news of the gospel into situations of darkness and despair. The money which PWs hope to raise will support the development of the Prison Fellowship's female aftercare programme, which seeks to ensure that no woman leaves prison alone, as well as offering care and support in many other ways. At last week's PW meeting, our speaker was Neil Jackson, who works with the Prison Fellowship. And we were privileged to hear about the important work that they do, offering hope and a new beginning to women prisoners, released prisoners, and their families, because they strongly believe that good aftercare of women prisoners especially is crucial, helping to reduce the likelihood of reoffending and going back to prison. The special overseas project will support the Women's Guild in Zambia, which is connected to the Presbyterian Church there. This guild helps to look after the needs of women across the church in Zambia. And throughout this through this project, the money raised will support the development of a leadership programme, especially for women in rural areas who have little formal education. They will learn how to disciple others, lead a Bible study, plan a programme, and how to be good stewards for group finances. Both of these projects, I'm sure you'll agree, have the great potential to change lives. Now, on the pews, you will see explanatory leaflets and envelopes where you can give an offering towards these two special projects. You can either use the envelope today, or you can just take it away and bring it back, fill it up, of course, and bring it back at a later date. And by using the envelopes and filling in your details on the front, we are able to claim gift aid. So we would like to thank you very sincerely in advance for your contributions, which will be unbelievably helpful to these organisations. Let's now worship God as we talk to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, you made the heavens and the earth. You hold the oceans in your hands. You have numbered every grain of sand, and yet you know each of us by name and love us. Lord Jesus, you have felt the nails upon your hands as you bore the guilt of sinful man. We are thankful that you died on the cross and rose again, that we may have life through you. Our souls belong to you, and you are our hope in life and in death. We thank you that we can call you our Father, a Father who sustains us and gives us strength to face each day. Thank you for never leaving us, no matter what we have done, no matter what we face. We can enjoy this reassuring truth as we place our hope in you and as we picture ourselves placing our hand in yours. Your love never fails, and when we feel unsure, help us to entrust ourselves into your loving care, which will keep us to the end. And as you love us, help us to reflect your mercy and love in how we treat others. This morning, may we know your presence, and as we praise you in song, as we read your scriptures, as we listen to your message, open our hearts and our ears to hear your voice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Two verses from Isaiah 43 and Isaiah 49 read as follows. This is what the Lord says: do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. We're now going to praise the Lord by singing two songs which remind us of the majesty of God, the love of Christ, and the hope that only He can bring. The first is Behold Our God, followed by Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. And after we have sung these two songs, would the children then come up to the front?
Now, if the boys and girls would like to come to the front.
As I'm sure you're aware, the theme for PW for this year is Entrusted. And for those of us who call Jesus Saviour and Lord, He has entrusted us with the ministry of praying for one another. He has told us to pray for each other. So that's what we're going to do just now. Think of ourselves as a very small part of the family of God, which is worldwide, and we're going to pray for some other members of that same family. And God has told us through the Lord Jesus when He was here on earth that we have the privilege of calling Him our Father if we know His Son, Jesus Christ. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, although You are the high and holy One who is from everlasting to everlasting, Your word tells us that You also dwell with those who are of a contrite heart and are lowly in spirit. And so we come as Your repentant children, seeking a Father's blessing on ourselves and on some of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Lord, You have called us all to different lifestyles, just as we have been just reminded that we are all unique. And we pray this morning, first of all, for those who have no immediate family of their own. Lord, we think of Diane Cusick in Zambia working as a single missionary with the Presbyterian Church. And we remember too Naomi Keefe from Lisburn, who's now been serving for many years on her own in Brazil. Father, will You surround these ladies with Your love, Your comfort, Your guidance and strength? We thank You for providing co-workers and fellow believers as family for them. But in their perhaps more lonely times, please remind them that we pray for them and that You have promised never to leave them alone. But Lord, You've set many of us in human families with all the joys and challenges that that brings. Lord, we pray today especially for the Kennedy family. And as we have been reminded, they are now serving You in Enniskillen in the church which David Couples knew so well for so many years. Lord, we pray for Stephen as he leads the church. We pray for Rosie as she supports him. But especially this morning, Lord, we remember their girls, Julia and Lucy. They've had such a number of changes to deal with in their young lives. Lord, we remember how You called their family to Romania for some years, and now they're back in Northern Ireland. And so we pray Your blessing, especially on the girls, as they seek to continue to settle into school and to church life and in their own social circles. Lord, as we have just been thinking of how You placed Your hands on the little children when You were on earth, Lord, we know that Julie and Lucy are no longer little children, but Lord, we do pray that same blessing on them as they grow into young adulthood and take their place in the church family in Enniskillen. Father, we're aware that this is a multinational and multicultural family to which You have called us, and we think of the PW special projects, and especially we pray this morning for those ladies in Zambia who belong to the Zambia Women's Guild. And as they meet together in groups to praise You and learn together, we do pray especially that You will bless them as they seek to train new leaders and teach new skills to these ladies, many of whom have very little formal education. Lord, we pray that they might know the love of Christ in their own lives and know better how to share it with others. And closer to home, we remember the work too of Prison Fellowship, where men and women seek to love and support those who find themselves facing prison, being in prison, and trying to readjust to life afterwards. Lord, we do pray, and we know in confidence that you want us to care for such people because you have told us to do so. And so we pray especially for the staff and the volunteers of Prison Fellowship, that they may be really blessed in the work that they do, and that they may be able to share the love of the one who said, "If the Son shall make you free, you will be free indeed." And finally, Lord, we just pray for ourselves and our own congregation. We especially bring before you Michael and Heidi and Hannah in their respective ministries within our congregation. Lord, none of us knows what's going to happen during this next week. We remember again those who have been recently bereaved. We remember any who may be facing difficulties this week. We pray especially that you would present yourself with them in a special way. And Lord, we thank you too for the live stream facilities that we have here. And we pray this morning for those who are taking part in our service through that live stream. Lord, whether people are at home or in hospital and care home or wherever they are, Lord, we just remember them too, and we pray for them as we pray for ourselves, that all of us might just hear your word this morning as it's preached to us. And we thank you for each member of our congregation, and we thank you for the fellowship that we have. And so, Lord, together we want to join in that family prayer, and we will say together, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." And now we're going to join again to sing together, and we're going to sing, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ Who Lives in Me."
The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. And you can find it on page 994 in the Pew Bibles. It's the parable of the talents. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with the 2 talents also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money in deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen.
Well, it's very nice to be with you in Railway Street this morning. I remember my visit to the PW nearly 2 years ago with great pleasure. I'm speaking about my Camino walk in Mays tonight at 6:30. So if anybody's interested, you can come, though I shouldn't really be saying that when you're meant to be here at 6:30, but there you go. Now, the PW theme for this year is entrusted, and that took my mind to the parable of the talents, where these men were entrusted with something from their master. So we've been entrusted with a few things in the course of the past year. The neighbour's flower baskets and grass when they went on holiday. And then we graduated from that to the Red Fern's hens when they went on their skiing holiday, and the reward for us was that we got the eggs that the hens laid. And then we graduated from that to Miss Westfield's cat on the Cockhill Road, and we had to make sure the cat didn't get run over. So we were entrusted with these things, and we took them seriously. But today we're going to talk about being entrusted with the most important thing of all, the gift of life itself, its privileges, its resources, and its opportunities. And the point and purpose of this sermon is to empower and enable every single one of us here to be good stewards. I want to say something to you in the next 15 minutes that will help you on the road to that moment when you'll stand before Jesus and you'll hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because that is the reference point that needs to determine and guide every single decision we make in this life. Now, the story is simple. We've got a businessman with 3 employees. He gives them 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. We don't actually know how much the talent was worth, but it was a large sum of money. That's all we need to know. On his return, he calls them to give an account of their stewardship. 2 are rewarded and 1 is punished. And we're going to be one or other of those servants. That's the reality if we believe what Scripture says. We're going to be one or other. Now, we want to be the servants who were invited to enter their master's joy. So what kind of mindset do we need to have for that to happen? Well, you've got sermon notes. Well, I don't think I have a copy in the pulpit, but it doesn't matter. A5-size sermon notes to follow me and to take home and use afterwards if you feel they're valuable. First of all, life is a trust for which we will be held accountable. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said that he lived with 2 days in mind, today and that day, the day of judgment. I find that very helpful. Live with 2 days in mind, that day and then today, and link the two of them together. He felt accountable. So we're going to hear these words from God one day, and it should determine the course of our lives. Now, it's very common these days for people to have a victim mentality, and there is nothing more disabling than the victim mentality. Oh, look what life has done to me. Look how people have treated me. But the first thing we learn here is you're accountable. We're all accountable. And that means you're responsible. You can't afford to take the attitude that when you get to God, you're going to tell him all the difficult things that happened in life. He knows all about them. He's interested in your sorrows. But you're accountable and you're responsible. So life is a trust for which you'll be held accountable. Second, it's a privilege for which we should be thankful. The unfaithful servant did not receive the talent with thanks. He saw it as a burden and a problem, a source of fear. But the other servants were grateful for the opportunity. And again, we need to avoid a spirit of complaining and lamenting about life. We should have an abundance mentality in life, that whatever God has given us, it can be used and given to God and be productive. I heard a story recently. I'm interested in the church in Iran. I heard this story recently about a former Iranian soldier who was disabled in the Iran-Iraq war. He was bedridden. He'd been bedridden for 25 years, but he became a Christian. Now, you know that the church is persecuted in Iran, but this soldier decided he wanted to tell others about Jesus. Normally, you'll get thrown in prison for that. But when you're a veteran in Iran, you're distributed with given what's known as a red card, and it makes you immune from prosecution. So he started to tell all his friends and contacts online about Jesus without fear of what was going to be done to him. And inside 3 weeks, he had 18 people that he needed to put in touch with Elam Ministries who wanted to find out more about Jesus. And dear knows how many it is now. He didn't say, "I'm disabled, I'm lying here in bed, there's nothing I can do for Jesus." He looked for opportunities, and God is using him mightily. So, again, what I say to the children, don't take the attitude, "Oh, God hasn't given me many great gifts." It's not about talents in that sense or gifts. Think of the boy with his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All that mattered was that the loaves and fishes were in the Lord's hands, and then the great things started to happen. Don't lament what you don't have in the church or in your personal life. Thank God for what you do have. Jesus thanked God for the 5 loaves and 2 fishes with a crowd of over 5,000 people in front of him. But he gave them to God. And then something amazing happened. So life's a privilege for which we should be thankful. It's a task in which we should be diligent. It's not going to be achieved without hard work. I was reading again the story of one of the great missionaries who followed on in the generation after Hudson Taylor, James Outram Fraser, who went to Lisu Land in southwest China. And he has a great quote where he says, "Here we see God's way of success in our work, whatever it may be, a trinity of prayer, faith, and patience." But he could have added hard work. Now, there are many people here today, and you're involved in Christian ministry of some kind. And whenever we start out in Christian ministry, we tend to have a rather romantic notion of it. You know, God's power is going to fall, and we're going to see absolutely amazing things happen. Well, let's hope that we will see amazing things happen. But there's going to be discouragements, and it's going to take hard work. So if there's anybody here this morning, and in your sphere of service, whether it's your daily work or Christian ministry, or wherever it might be, take this as a word from God. Here we see God's way of success in our work, whatever it may be, a trinity of prayer, faith, and patience, and hard work. It's a task in which we should be diligent, and it's an opportunity in which we should be ambitious. So the wicked servant was paralyzed by fear of failure, but the others were energized by the prospect of success. They believed in the worth of the master's business. They understood the master valued them and trusted them. They wanted to please him, and so they set out with a spirit of faith. And that is how God wants us to approach life, and approach life as a Christian. If there's anything more crippling than the victim mentality, it's fear of failure. But God doesn't want that in us. And Paul said to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and sound judgment. When God presented Eden and all its resources to Adam and Eve, they didn't look at it and say, oh my goodness, what happens if we fail? They got excited about the prospects. And that's how God wants us to feel about being a Christian and about his kingdom, which is going to win, by the way. You know, Jesus was raised from the dead. The outcome's already certain. We're on the winning side. Doesn't matter how difficult it is. And God wants us to set about the business of following Jesus with faith and anticipation. Not crippled by fear of failure. Now, I'm out the other end of ministry now. I did nearly 40 years, and now I'm doing what I'm doing at the moment. Fear is the biggest problem we have in our churches. People are crippled by fear. We have people running large businesses who couldn't turn to the people in the pew beside them and say, hello, I'm so-and-so, I haven't met you before. Are you new here? There's a spirit of fear that dominates our churches, and we need to dispel it with a bold faith. Now, it all comes down to this, and obviously time has beaten us, so we'll run through this fairly quickly. It's all down to what you think God is like. Now, the wicked servant thought, I'm going to fail. My master is a very, very severe, harsh person. He's looking for a return, and so I'm going to lose nothing. I'll bury it. But the other servants had a completely different view of God, and I'm going to have to say, deal with these points very in a cursory manner. Look at the master in this story. Number one, he was generous. He placed large sums in his servant's hands. Number two, he was trusting. He trusted them that they could do something with this money. He valued them. And God trusts us to get on with his work. He was considerate. It said that the talents were given each according to their ability, which means we're never going to be asked to do anything for which God will not give us the ability and the strength. The master was ambitious and enterprising. He believed in his business and he wanted it to succeed. And that's the sort of person you want to work for. That's why God made the world. He wanted it to grow and develop. And his restoration project, the kingdom, is going to be the same. It's going to succeed. And we've got a part in it. And God is a team player. He could do it all himself. But he wants us to be involved so that we will grow up and develop and become like him. We all love to see the children at the front, but we don't want them to stay children forever. They're meant to grow up. Well, that's why God involves you in his business. He wants you to grow up and develop character like him. He's a team player, and he's patient. Why did the master stay away for such a long time? because he knew that the return wasn't going to happen overnight. He didn't expect the money to be multiplied in a week or a fortnight. And so God is patient with us and gives us time so that we can achieve something worthwhile. In other words, the God presented in this story, in this parable, is a good God. The kind of person you would want to know and want to serve. And so, let me close. When we start to see God in that way, it releases in us a bold faith. Not a timid faith, but a bold faith. We surrender everything we are to God. We seek his kingdom first, and then we start taking in our daily lives little steps of bold faith. What is a bold faith? A bold faith is a faith that doesn't walk by on the other side. It walks toward need and walks towards opportunities and walks towards problems. Let me give you a very simple example, nothing heroic about this, but it's a plain, simple example to let you know what I have in mind. Not long before I left Enniskillen, I went up to the hospital one day to do my chaplain's visits, went into the staff car park, drove round and round and round and round and round, thought it's full, and eventually, one space, I drove in. I was at right angles then to another car. There was a lady sitting in the driver's seat and the window down. So I got out and we exchanged greetings. But a couple of days earlier, I'd been reading in my own devotions the story of blind Bartimaeus. It's all about sight. Jesus gave Bartimaeus his sight. I remember praying, Lord, you need to restore my sight so that I will see people the way you see them. So I looked at this woman, and of course I've been trained to do this for 40 years, and I could see the look on her face. But that's then when you make the decision. Are you going to have a timid faith, a walk by on the other side faith? Are you going to do something? So I just went over to the driver's door and I said, excuse me, I said, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but it looks to me like you're troubled about something. And she burst into tears. So she told me what the problem was. She had a meeting to go into, and she didn't think it was going to go well and didn't go into the other detail. I said, look, walk with me. We'll go into the hospital together. So we walked into the hospital together. I got a pen and paper. I said, look, there's my phone number. I have a long walk to the ward. Between here and that ward, I'm going to pray that your meeting goes well, and I want you to phone me at tea time and tell me how the meeting went. The meeting went better than she expected. God answered prayer. She phoned me at tea time and told me. She wanted more time off to stay with her dying mother. Her mother died 6 weeks later. She got in touch to let me know. I went out with a little booklet on bereavement that we had written in Enniskillen Presbyterian, and in return she very kindly gave me a present that Christmas. That's it. That's the end of the story. Something very simple. But I took a very simple step. I didn't go away thinking to myself, I wonder what's wrong with that woman. I moved toward it in simple faith, and then God used me to do something as a link in the chain. And that's what we're talking about. That's all we're talking about. But if everybody went out from churches in Northern Ireland or Ireland or across the world today, if everybody went out determined just to reach out to people in that simple way, we'd be changing the world far more than we are. The parable of the talents. You've been entrusted with life. What are you doing with it? It's a trust for which you're accountable. It's a privilege for which you should be thankful. It's a task in which we can be diligent. It's an opportunity in which we should be ambitious, because God's a good God. And if you believe that this morning, I've been trying to persuade you of it, it will release in you a faith that is optimistic, a dynamism, a hopefulness, an energy, an expectation, a generosity, a wanting to learn and grow. And when you have your appointment with Jesus, which we will all have, you will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Look at the kingdom that I have established, and here's the part you played in it. And you will share in the joy of God on that day. Is that not something worth aiming for and living for? That's what I'm living for. And I call on each and every one of you, in Jesus' name, to do the same. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you've entrusted to us. And now we pray that this word will take root in our hearts and bear fruit for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to sing our final song, during which the offering will be received. It's Jesus, All for Jesus.
All for Jesus.
Lord, may your blessing and strength be with the PW. May it be with all the ministries in this church, and may it be upon this congregation. And now I invite you to say the benediction with me. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.